Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. Oh, it was for freedom that Jesus set you free, my brothers and sisters. And as you're listening, you're going to be profoundly touched by the fact that a God of mercy and grace is also with you today. Excuse me. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through in everything you do. You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. And if you would like to listen to encore shows, you can go to freedomstreet.org and click on that radio show, or you can go to 670klTT.com/podcast/ call to freedom. You can tell it's almost the end of the week. Praise the Lord. And if you'd like to donate, you can go to the donate button on the homepage and hit that donate and donate to Call to Freedom. If you're enjoying what you're hearing, and I hope you do, because we do scripture all the time, and it's on the word we stand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. So I'm so grateful that you're listening in today. Kimberly, welcome to Call to Freedom.
Thank you. We were closing the program yesterday on Philippians 2:13. You brought up that God is at work in us to will and to work for his good pleasure. And I'm just going to jump right back in, because you had mentioned that we might think we are right where we need to be spiritually.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But many are not. And that God is calling us higher, that he's constantly at work in us to will and to work for his good pleasure. Mm-hmm. And I do believe, you know that I do, that we are a constant work in progress, or a work in process. You know, it's just one big process here on this earth, and that we are always growing. I also believe that we are right where God wants us to be.
Yes, for the moment, yes. I mean, Joseph, he was in a dungeon for 13 years, mm-hmm. was he? And he was right mm-hmm. where God wanted him to be. And that sounds
and
so crazy.
And his brothers selling him out the way they did. They were right where they were supposed to be.
Sounds angry and
bitter and jealous. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds so crazy. Yes, it does.
It does. Mm-hmm. But the whole plan, this whole planet, the whole plan, get it, planet, mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. whole plan, and all it contains, it's his idea. It's God's idea. It's mm-hmm. his story. Mm-hmm. And he intends for me to go through my rebellious stages, and for me to experience doubt and fear, and for me to flex my pride mm-hmm. and stubbornness. But what God did not intend is for me to get stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And when we choose to stay stuck, then we are not helping his dream come true. See, people who are choosing to draw closer to Father God through every broken situation, those people are fulfilling his dream.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So when we get stuck and we're no longer growing, we're not helping his dream come true. He needs us. Mm-hmm. He needs us.
Yes.
He needs us to use our superpower of choice. And that's what the human superpower is. We get to choose. So he does need us. And at the same time, according to Psalm 139, verse 5, our Father goes before us and behind us. Mm. He prepares the future for us, and he comes along behind us. And we might create a great mess. And our past, when we look backwards at our past, it might look really messy. But, you know, I know that when I've got one of my adult children coming over, and we're going to be celebrating, whether it's a holiday or a birthday. We've got a birthday coming up soon, mm-hmm. next week, in our family. And I go before the event, I go before my kids that are coming over, and I clean things up, and I prepare, and I buy food, and I prepare that food, and I make sure that it's all set for the family. That is what our Father God does for us. He goes ahead of us into our future, providing everything that we need, making sure that we will be clothed with the grace needed for every situation that's ahead of us. Mm-hmm. And when the event is over, when the birthday party's over, when Christmas is over, I'm going along behind it all, and I'm picking up the trash, and I'm wiping up the spills, and I'm cleaning up, and I'm putting everything back in order.
Yes.
Well, that's what he does too. And our pasts might be messy, but he knows how to put it all back in order. And that's an interesting way to think of it, because we think once the past is done, nothing can be done to change it. Mm-hmm. That's just not true.
No.
Our Heavenly Father is not limited to a timeline. And I've watched him go back in my own personal memories and change my mind in how I feel about what happened. Mm-hmm. I've watched him bring healing to my heart, and I've watched him do that with my family members.
That's right.
Go back into the past and clean it up in such a way, give us a new perspective. And that ministry of reconciliation, that is such a good thing. We may not be able to reconcile with people who are not healthy people. You know, we might not be able to spend a whole lot of time with those people, mm-hmm. but we can reconcile our thoughts and our feelings so that we can be walking in the love of God at all times. And that's what we want to do, is to be in his will and come alongside God in all of this brokenness.
Yes.
Oh, we're no longer praying, like we said yesterday, if it's your will, Lord. Mm-hmm. Because we're not asking him to bless our will. We're not asking him to bless our ideas and our opinions and our motives and agendas and how we think it's going to be fixed. You know, the situation will be fixed. We trust him that his way will absolutely provide what we need for the future and clean up the past and bring us our heart's desire as we lay our precious ideas on his altar.
Yes.
And that brings us back around to Psalm 84, 1 through 3, that we started it with yesterday.
What you're saying, Kimberly, is just mm-hmm. so easy to say it, but it is so difficult to do it. It really is. It takes years and
it's
years.
True.
It took years and years for me to lay down some things in my life, and it took great tragedy and other things mm-hmm. that happened. But when we do it on a day-to-day basis, be faithful in all things. You know, when God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, he means it. And when we mm-hmm. take that walk with him in a faithful lifestyle, he's going to bless us. He really is. Even though it's going to be difficult. Wow.
Well, thank you. Thank you for mentioning that. Because that really comes around to us wanting to be certain about things. We want to know. We want to be in the know. And if it's not certain, if we can't guarantee a certain outcome, then we want to control it to mm-hmm. make sure we can guarantee that certain outcome, you know?
Yes.
So it's, and being certain of something, that's like an addiction. Mm-hmm. Human beings can be addicted to certainty.
Yes.
Human beings then can really be addicted to control, because you start controlling things so that you can make certain that it's going to be a certain way. Well, building up a tolerance for uncertainty, you know, when you just don't know what the outcome is going to be, that is crucial for breaking the addiction to control and the addiction to being in the know all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't know how God is going to do a miracle until we let go of certainty and let go of control. So that's the building of the tolerance for uncertainty. It's having faith and believing that God really is going to do something greater than we could imagine when we get our hands off of it. He does go ahead of us and he goes behind us, and that gives us no reason to worry.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Oh, this is good. I remember time, and you were in the motorhome with us when it was blizzarding, and it was so icy, and we were going through Wyoming and going under an overpass, and your father said, oh, it's ice. I do not have control, and I just said, let go of the wheel. And mm-hmm. what a command to give to the person that's behind the wheel of a vehicle that's sliding all over, and a motorhome at that, and he let go of the wheel. And we went right through the underpass, and I know it was God's hands. And but your father just...
Well, I remember I was watching that. I remember there was a semi-truck, and we were going to hit the back end of it. And our motorhome swerved out of the way and went around that truck, and there was no damage.
Oh, praise God. Well, you maybe I had my eyes closed. I didn't want to
well,
see
well,
what
was it blizzarding so badly that it was a whiteout and you really couldn't mm-hmm. see anything?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because that's what I remember is we couldn't see anything and all of a sudden there were tail lights right in front of us. Mm-hmm. And it was scary. Mm-hmm. And you can't be certain that you're going to survive something like that.
That's right.
And letting go of the wheel is not a natural response.
No, it's not. I know when in the ice, you're pumping the brake instead of just putting your foot on the brake. You're just pumping the brake many mm-hmm. times so you don't skid off the road. Mm-hmm. But boy, yeah, letting go of the wheel, Well, Jesus, take the wheel. I think that's a Carrie Underwood song. Jesus, take the wheel. Yeah, that's right. And he did that day. He did.
Praise the Lord. He did. And I think that just folds into this Psalm 84. How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. Where he dwells, there's nothing that's out of his control. Mm-hmm. Where he dwells, we can trust that he will work things for the best for us. Yes. And that's what our souls long for. Our hearts are deeply desiring to know that everything's going to be okay. When we know him and we have built that tolerance for uncertainty so that he can make things certain instead of us trying to make things certain, mm-hmm. then that's when we find the most joy ever. That's when we find the most peace that anyone could ever offer. We can't find a peace like that on this earth.
No.
And verse 3 of Psalm 84 says, the bird also has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Where she may lay her young.
Yes.
There's really nothing more precious to a mother or a father than their young ones. And to just lay them on an altar, wow, that's the next part of it. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. When we choose to lay our most precious ideas, our most precious dreams, our most precious beloved people on that altar and trust him, that's how we are making his dream come true and coming into union with him. And you know what? He has better ideas than what we had in the first place.
That's right. Yes.
He has ways of healing those beloved ones that we never would have thought of. So we don't have to be afraid of going through that valley of weeping that's talked about in verse 5. And I would like for you to read that. That's a special verse to you.
Well, yes, it is. How blessed is the person whose strength is in thee, and in whose heart are the highways of heaven, our Zion. Do you remember the group Petra, Kimberly,
yes.
in the early 80s? And their album was named Highways to Zion. It was really good. Mm-hmm. Passing through the valley of Baca, that valley of weeping, they make it a spring, a refreshing. The early rain also covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before the God of Zion.
Yes, we can be so afraid that we're going to be having this terrible grief and crying and weeping. And some people are so afraid to cry because they're afraid they won't come up and out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, they won't find joy again. We can be so afraid of that. But this verse is telling us that passing through that valley of weeping, they make it a place of fresh water springs. Spring water. It's a fountain that flows from the throne of God. And it's transformed. That's what we're talking about here. Instead of being just always weeping and grieving, that is transformed to something else, to something new, to something fresh, to something beautiful. And that's what we want to see, but we're never going to see it if we hold tightly to the ideas that we have to control and to make certain that something's going to happen a certain way.
Yes, that's right. Praise the Lord.
So one of the relationships that I started thinking about was Esau and Jacob. And Romans 9:13 says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated.
Whoa.
And that verse, yeah, I know that is, that's it's harsh.
It
that's
is.
The King James version of it. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. The verse has perplexed many people. How can God hate anyone? He's the one who created all of them. How could he hate them? And the Bible tells us that God is love. So that's really kind of a conundrum for many to think of. If we look at the original text that's being quoted in Romans 9, that text is from Malachi 1, verses 2 and 3. And God is using imagery to answer a question. He says, I have shown you love. This is what the Lord says. I have shown you love. But you ask, how? How have you shown us love? God answers, look at history. Look at how differently I've treated you, Jacob, from Esau. They are brothers, yet I have accepted Jacob and I have rejected Esau.
Mm.
So we're looking at this and seeing that it's not necessarily love-hate, it's an acceptance and rejection. And maybe that's how that feels to people, you know, if you're rejecting, you're hating. This is where we get to see the choices that Jacob made and the choices that Esau made. And Jacob, he definitely had his struggles, didn't he?
Mm. Yeah.
He did have, even at birth, he had this way of getting ahead of his brother. And so he kept wanting to get ahead of his brother and make sure that he received the birthright.
Yes.
And there was a struggling even in the womb with Jacob. But here in the scriptures, we see that Esau was more concerned with hunting, with the things of the flesh. And Jacob, he stayed behind and he served. He was more of a servant. He was in the tents and stayed with his mother. And he did what his mother and father told him to do. And Esau came back one day really starving, hungry. And he didn't even care about his birthright anymore.
That's right.
He was so hungry, he sold out. He sold out his birthright. His flesh was so hungry that he sold out his birthright, which was a spiritual thing.
Yes, I must say that before they were born, God came to Rebekah and he said, the older will serve the younger. So God, this was a command from God for Rebekah. So I see so many times, Kimberly, where people say, well, he was a deceiver. And I really love what Prime Minister Netanyahu, what Spiros Zodiati said in his footnotes, that Jacob was a supplanter. That means that he took the promises of God through strategy and not deceiving, because deceiving comes from the root word deceit, and that means it's sinful. And so Rebekah and Jacob really didn't do that which was sinful, because God knew Esau's heart before he was even born. And he knew it would be Jacob who would be the father of the 12 tribes. So
even if it was sin, you know, I'm just going to go there.
Okay, even if it was sin, yes.
Mm-hmm. God saw the repentance in Jacob and the times when Jacob came to the Lord and asked God to help him.
Yes.
And he did. He built altars to the Lord and asked God's help. because he was on the run several times in his life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it was sin, he had that same thing come back on him. You know, the consequences come to us. Mm-hmm. When we sow certain seed, it comes back, you know, to us. What I love to see is Jacob continued to call out to God. We don't know that about Esau because it was not written of Esau. Mm-hmm. What we do know is that Esau, when he got hungry in his flesh, he let his flesh rule. Yes. And I believe that's the picture that God is painting in Malachi chapter 1. And if you keep reading on, it talks about how God has made the mountains of Esau a desolation. And the Young's literal translation says that Jacob is an affirmation of Jehovah, and I love Jacob. And Esau I have hated. It's a picture, though, of Jacob being the spiritual person and Esau being the flesh person.
Yes.
And how God is saying, I love it when you choose to follow your spirit. But I don't like it so much when you choose to just stay stuck in your flesh and let your flesh rule and let your flesh be hungry and feed your flesh. And that's where control and certainty roots itself, is in our flesh. We just have to know. We want to know so badly how this is going to turn out. So we try really hard to make it turn out the way we want it to be.
Yes.
I'm saying it. Like whatever you're in the middle of right now,
that's right.
That's causing stress, that's causing anxiety. And if we read on in Malachi, we'll see the picture of how it will go for us if we keep trying to build up our flesh, our intellect, our physical strength. Not that that's all bad. It's just that if that's all we're leaning on, it will come to ruin. Not as a punishment, but simply because we were not created to live in this realm, on this planet, in our own strength. We were created to be in covenant, in league with our Creator. And that's how we have a blessed life. The Bible is full of imagery that reveals that to us. So we can know, literally speaking, that God did bless the tribe of Esau and his people. They became a great nation. He also had 12 tribes, and they are still a people to this day. They're believed to be the Romans. Romans may have been their descendants, and possibly all Europeans have some kind of lineage through Esau. But Esau didn't keep his name. Mm-hmm. Jacob, his name got changed to Israel, and Israel is still a name.
Yes, that's right.
And the name is still there, and it's God's people, Israel, still to this day. Millennia later.
Yes.
So that's where we can see that the spirit life will always outlive the flesh life.
That's right.
The spirit life of Jacob and Israel will outlive the life of Esau. And there's an Esau inside of me. There's a flesh part of me that wants to rule every day. Mm-hmm. And I've got to lay that back down, just like the little bird that puts her young on God's altar. I lay down the way that I want to control things in life. And instead of getting lost in all the details of living this life, I choose to worship.
Yes.
I choose to give praise.
Thank
I choose
Jesus.
To give honor to the one who knows how to work it all out.
That's right. In fact, God calls this worship that we think is worship by going to church on Sunday and dropping a little money into the offering plate and just sitting there and listening to a sermon. He calls it in the Message, it's the silly, empty-headed worship. That's what he calls it in verse 10 of Malachi 1. And he says, I am not pleased. The God of the heavenly hosts is not pleased. And I don't want any more of this so-called worship. Because the people were bringing their blind and sick and crippled animals for sacrifice to God. And God had already instructed them it must be an animal without blemish. And they kept the animal without blemish for their own use, for their own eating. And God was sick and tired of it. He was.
Right. So the other brothers that I think of are Cain and Abel. And I know we don't have a whole lot of time. I won't go into too much detail. But Cain and Abel, our two other brothers right at the beginning in Genesis. And that's where you can see the flesh and you can see the spirit. Abel was raising a flock. He was raising, just like you're saying, here are these beautiful creatures that God has created. And Abel was shepherding them and taking care of them. He was a caregiver for these precious beasts of the field, you know. And so he probably got to know them, got to know their personalities.
Yeah,
and
probably.
Abel came with a sacrifice to the Lord, and it was one of the little sheep. Well, Cain, he did a whole lot of work himself. He plowed up ground, he planted, he made sure things were being watered, whatever he had to do to harvest. And then after the time of all his hard work, he brought some of his produce to the mm-hmm. Lord. It wasn't even something, and I know that God causes plants to grow. We can't cause that to happen.
Yes.
Only God can really cause a seed to grow. But Cain offered something out of the flesh.
Yes.
He offered something after a time.
Genesis 4 tells us that Cain brought an offering. He brought an offering, probably not his best fruit of the land or his best crops. And Abel brought his first, the highest mm-hmm. quality sheep for the offering. So you're right, Kimberly.
Yes.
That's where it is.
Yeah, so just another example that the ways of the flesh and selfishness and control and trying to be certain, it's just not going to succeed.
No,
it's
it
like
isn't.
Reading the instructions for an appliance or toy. God has given us the instructions of what will succeed, and that is to have faith in Him, mm-hmm. to trust Him, to
yes.
lay down our precious ideas on His altar and watch Him do something great.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yes. And we will begin to really, truly trust God. Oh, thank you so much, Kimberly, for the message these last 2 days. And friends, remember, Darren and I will be on the radio tomorrow. God bless you and keep you. Stay warm and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.